Thursday, March 24th, having a conversation concerning today's headlines and real-life challenges. I'm Tom Lamprecht along with Pastor Harry Reeder. Stay with us as we apply a biblical worldview with gospel solutions to put the issues of today in perspective. Harry, something very unusual happened at the Yale Law School. An American humanist by the name of Monica Miller and Christian Wagner of the Alliance Defending Freedom, two groups, both came together on the same side of an issue, the 2021 Supreme Court case involving legal remedies for First Amendment violations. The purpose of the panel, a member of the Federalist Society said, that was the group that was sponsoring the event, was to illustrate that a liberal atheist and a conservative Christian could find common ground on a free speech issue.
First of all, a little background information. Yale and the law school, which is a part of the Yale School, became the site for this forum. Yale came into existence because of the abdication of orthodoxy at Harvard. The Christian community that settled what is now known as the Boston area, even before they had settled their food supply, made sure they had a place of education. But it was within just a couple of generations that Harvard had abdicated theological orthodoxy and thus came into existence Yale. In even less time, Yale abdicated theological orthodoxy. Thus came the impetus and all the focus went to another school that is now numbered with the Ivy League schools identified as Princeton. But now we're to the Yale University of the 21st century, and it's quite a different story. They have not simply left orthodoxy, they are now sworn enemies of biblical Christianity. Here is this forum that was hosted by Yale, sponsored by the Federalist Society. One of the things that was an attempt to do is to show the great value that we have, a nation established with what we call the American experience and the American experiment, which is a nation ruled by law that embraces certain values that come out of the Reformation in terms of the relationship of church, state, and the individual and the family, and how these spheres of life, how they are interrelated, and how a government can protect liberty within law. And all of that has created something that we have placed into a motto, E Pluribus Unum, out of many, one. Remember, we are a nation of immigrants. Everyone came for something, and that was this notion of a constitutional government with certain values that we call classic liberal values informed by a Christian world and life view out of the Reformation. In other words, during the Enlightenment, you had reason replacing revelation. And out of the Reformation, you have revelation being used with reason. The Word of God becomes foundational. And it informs the spheres of life and the government's role to protect the God-given liberties of the individuals. And we do not have a nation who has unity because we all have the same religion. We don't have a national church. Our unity is not the singularity of race. It is something of an idea, something of a commitment, and that is embedded in the Constitution. And it is maintained and matured with what we call the Bill of Rights. And the premier right is the First Amendment that has its five affirmations of free speech and the free practice of religion, the free practice of assembly, free press, etc. So that is what has maintained and matured our experiment now moving toward a third century. And this whole forum was designed to celebrate that. Here is a humanist atheist, and here is a conservative Christian, both coming from two organizations that work together around maintaining the values embedded in the Constitution and protected by the Bill of Rights and specifically the First Amendment that both appealed to in the court case. And now they were going to have a forum as to how and why they could operate together, even though religiously they were disparate. And even though politically they were disparate, but yet they were able to work together and have unity around the embedded values of the Constitution and its maintenance through the First Amendment. Tom, there are two things that happened in this event that need to be noted. The event itself was assaulted by protest that was designed not to raise a voice in the event, but to suppress the other voices to the point of physical and verbal abuse and threats. That means you need law enforcement in order to maintain ordered liberty so that everyone has a voice of communication, not a voice that threatens coercion. After the event was over, the majority of the population of the Yale School of Law, first of all, misrepresented what happened at the event, and then secondly, began to support the tactics of those who came to suppress the voice of others. Now, in a sense, the protest becomes an example of the First Amendment. Until it crossed the line of repressing the speech of those who had called the meeting. And so they wanted to suppress it. They shouted it down. This was not let us have a voice in this meeting, which they had. They wanted to cancel the voice of those who had called the meeting. Well, that's when law has the responsibility of law enforcement. And that is exactly what ultimately took place. Well, we make room for the protest, and you can make the protest, but our liberties are not to be practiced abusively and at the cost of the liberties of others. So the free speech of those who called the forum was being denied by the free speech of protest of those who showed up. So then came the call for order, and that was to remove those who were attempting to suppress the speech of others. But Tom, underneath this is a point that we have made. Those who came with the free speech were constantly referring to the LGBTQAI plus agenda. This movement is not a movement asking for a seat at the table of society to argue for the LGBTQAI manifesto. It is a revolution, and a revolution is a commitment to use any means for the purpose of condemning what was once celebrated and celebrating what was once condemned and demanding capitulation. This is not cooperation that the movement desires. It is capitulation, as was evidenced by the tactics that were used by the protest group as they assembled. And then comes the cry, well, you shouldn't have called the police. No, listen, this is very important. We have God-given liberties that are guaranteed by our Constitution, which is a document of law to which all of our local, state, and federal government is committed to uphold. That's where our vows are taken. If you are elected into office or you are called into military service or a police force, you take vows to that Constitution. In other words, we have ordered liberty. We do not embrace autonomy in the name of liberty. Autonomy is auto, self, nomos, law, self-law. This is not a Wild West relationship where he who has the biggest voice or the most money can suppress everyone else. On the contrary, the Constitution brings the guaranteed liberties that we see so marvelously framed within the Bill of Rights and the First Amendment. And when you bring disorder to suppress someone else's liberty, then you move from law to law enforcement. So it is right to call the police. It is right to make arrest. We have ordered liberty. At the very outset, this became obvious. As you see the anarchy and lethality of the French Revolution, and you see the ordered liberty and the establishment of a nation through the Constitution itself and the American War for Independence. What we have before us is a cultural revolution, but its demand is capitulation, not cooperation. And it is a call of suppression until you celebrate what you once condemned in terms of sexual ethics and you condemn what you once celebrated.
There are a number of ways you can stay in touch with Harry Reader and Today in Perspective. The best way is by downloading the Briarwood app. It is available through your favorite app store. Simply go to your app store, type in Briarwood PCA. You'll have access to audio, video, and written resources that will challenge and encourage your walk in the Lord Jesus Christ. The app is yours at no cost. Well, do stop by again tomorrow, Friday, as we continue our conversation and as we apply a biblical worldview to put the issues of today in perspective.